This is the BBC Home Service and British Forces Broadcasting Service. Saturday Night Theatre. We present Hubert Gregg, Nicolette Bernard, and Ralph Truman in Escapade by Roger MacDougall, adapted for broadcasting by Cynthia Pugh. Escapade.
Only if Peter would stop practicing. Milk, 18 and 10 pence. Meat, 14 and 4 pence. That's, tuppence carry a shilling. Carry 1, 15 and 18 is... Oh, dear.
Hello, Mother.
When do they want tea, Stella?
Oh, not till they've finished. Personally, I want something stronger. I'm trying to do the accounts. What with John's meeting and Cousin Peter practicing, I've added up the same column 7 times and never got the same result twice. We can't have spent more than £20 on groceries, can we?
Well, don't forget the boys were home for... Ah, here is Peter.
Hello.
What are you looking for?
I want to shove on Siegfried's Journey to the Rhine. You've got it, haven't you?
I've also got a splitting headache.
Is that a dental hint that I should stop playing?
Perhaps you should. 17 and 5 pence, 6 and 4 pence.
No sacrifice is too great.
You'll be here for tea too?
I suppose so.
That makes 24.
What's the meeting about?
Peace.
Should have guessed it, shouldn't I? Nervous, I suppose.
Me?
There's a headache.
What are you getting at? Ever since you've come back, you kept hinting all isn't well with me and John.
Well, is it?
Oh, why shouldn't it be?
The fact that John is my cousin doesn't prevent me from saying that you married a self-centered, egotistical maniac.
All right, he's selfish, but he's not completely selfish.
Oh, Stella.
Oh, he is with me and with everyone else, I suppose. He's very selfish with other individuals, but with people in the mass, he's unusually altruistic. Well, I mean, look at his books.
Oh, yes, they tell you how you ought to behave, how you ought to think, even. I'm surprised they don't tell you how you ought to breathe.
He gives a lot of time, more than he can afford, really, to worthy causes. This author's peace manifesto, for instance. Well, you can't call that selfish.
Can't I? When did he take you out, Glass?
Well, he's been busy. He hasn't really had a minute. Why this sudden concern about me, anyway?
Gratitude. But for you, I might be a careworn father instead of a carefree bachelor. You know, 18 years ago, when you got engaged to John, I was in love with you.
Yes, I know. Have a drink.
You know?
Yes. I think it was John who told me.
John? I never told John. When was this?
When he was proposing. He said I ought to marry you, but if I was fool enough to marry him, he'd have me.
But why, in heaven's name, if you can't reconsider a simple matter of phrasing...
It's a waste of time, Attorney Harrison. You'll never get anyone to sign it. No one with any sense of responsibility. You won't get me anyway.
I'm sorry you feel like this, Sir Harold. We need names, you know. Distinguished names like yours. But we can't keep on compromising. Surely you see that. If we do, we'll just produce another pious, meandering, well-meaning document with no effective guts in it.
Good idea.
Sir Harold Cookham. Do mind seeing yourself out... Do forgive me, everyone. I must go back to the meeting.
See what I mean, Peter?
Peace manifesto, I think you said. I thought that old boy looked exceedingly warlike.
Who's that unpleasant-looking man who passed me in the hall?
Sir Harold Cookham, Commander of the Order of the British Empire, President of the League of Authors, Nobel Prize winner, Doctor of Literature, Cambridge, practically God.
I didn't like him.
Neither did John.
Oh, perhaps I was wrong. He seemed pompous.
He was ruffled.
Was he, poor man? One should never jump to conclusions, Peter, especially not when John is in the house. He has a genius for proving that you're being unpleasant when you're merely disagreeing with him. What did they fight about?
Peace.
Oh, I wish John would start writing again. He was bad enough before, but since he's adopted pacifism, he's been more bellicose than ever. I must have come to something, mustn't I? But that unpleasant man put it right out of my head. Now, what was it?
A telephone call?
That was it. You are clever.
Who telephoned?
You know, I disapprove of the telephone, Peter.
Oh, do you?
Usually, I refuse to speak to it. It's a most unsatisfactory instrument. One always thinks of what one should have said about 5 minutes later. At least I do.
Who telephoned, Mother?
Well, someone quite unexpected. Oh, I know, the boy's headmaster.
Dr. Skillingworth?
Either he's in town and he's coming over, or He's not in town and he wants John to go and see him, one or the other.
But which?
Does it matter?
Well, of course it matters. Either John has to go and see him or he hasn't.
You see, Peter, it only leads to confusion.
Well, it wouldn't if you'd only listen properly. When did he telephone?
Oh, sometime today, I think. Well, it must have been today. Otherwise, I'd have told you yesterday, wouldn't I?
John will be annoyed.
Never again will I touch the instrument. Not for anyone.
Not at you, Mother, at Skillingworth. Suppose I'd better tell him. He hates being interrupted, and he can't bear the sight of Skillingworth.
I'm sorry I have to leave so early. I think there's point, don't you know?
Oh, your coat, Mr. Walters.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Hamden.
You'll come to our next meeting, won't you?
I'm afraid I've something on that night, John.
We haven't fixed the night.
I'm afraid I'll be very busy every night next week.
It may be the week after.
Pretty busy that week, too.
In other words, my good Stephen, you won't come.
I'd rather not.
You'd rather be blown to bits by bombs and sit in the same room with a couple of milk and water anarchists.
Well, one has to be careful.
Oh.
I only came this afternoon because I knew Sir Harold was coming. Perhaps I shouldn't say this, but you know, you have a bit of a reputation yourself.
Oh? As what?
Well, oh, you know what I mean, John. Sort of, left.
Left? Left of us lies half the universe.
I'm only telling you what other people say. Look, John, I must fly. Mustn't miss my train.
Oh, catch a miserable train.
Good night.
Good night. Quarter wit.
John, darling, before you go...
Yes?
Dr. Skillingworth phoned. He wants to talk to you.
Why?
Well, Mother took the message. Shall I telephone him?
No, no.
Well, he must want to talk about the boys.
Well, if he wanted to talk about the boys, he'd have asked to speak to you. I strongly suspect that Dr. Skillingworth wants to talk about Dr. Skillingworth, and it's very dull.
Well, what had I better do, do you think?
Phone Skillingworth.
No, it wouldn't work. If you go against John, something disastrous always happens. He's always right for the wrong reasons. It's infuriating.
Well, why are the boys at boarding school, anyway? Last time I was home, I distinctly remember John saying that a boarding school was a rich man's borstal, where he could send his undesirable children.
Well, they got older and noisier. John found he couldn't work, so he proved that a good private school was just what they needed. And it was pure selfishness that made us keep them at home.
Do they like it?
It's hard to say, really. They've only been gone a few months.
Do you?
No, I hate it. It gives me too much time to think.
Well, what's wrong with that?
When you reach our age, Peter, time for thought is apt to become time for self-pity.
I don't know what's come over you. You're letting him get away with murder.
Well, what can I do?
Do?
I'm in love with the man.
Lay into him, fight him, make him squirm, mince him into small pieces.
How?
Good heavens, you're a woman, aren't you? Don't ask me.
Stella, here is Dr. Skillingworth.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, Dr. Skillingworth. I'm afraid your message wasn't very clear.
My feeling was that I'd been tolerably explicit.
I mean, by the time it reached me.
Oh, yes. Excuse me. I must put the kettle on.
You see, my mother-in-law is very eccentric about the telephone. She insists on living in her own period.
Eccentricity is a pleasurable luxury which some of us can ill afford. It is to a sense of period, then, that I owe my unproductive morning.
You were waiting for a call from us?
I was.
Oh, that's too bad. I really am sorry. This is Peter Henderson, my husband's cousin.
How do you do, sir?
How do you do? You will gather, Mrs. Hamden, that the matter that I wish to discuss is of some moment. Otherwise, I wouldn't have wasted my time coming up to London.
Yes, of course.
Your husband is not at home?
Well, yes, he is. But he's in the middle of a very important meeting.
I think perhaps he can spare me a few moments.
Well,
surely you can tell him the headmaster's here.
Yes, of course.
Away.
You see, Dr. Skinner.
Already, this is too much.
Did you do that?
I did, sir.
Don't they teach you manners at your school?
I was waiting for the courtesy of a phone call.
Then you should have gone on waiting.
Mr. Hamden, I have made a lengthy journey in order to talk to you, and talk to you I will. Already I wasted an entire day.
Dr. Skillingworth, I can't interrupt my meeting in order to have a heart-to-heart about my boys. If you have anything to say, kindly say it to my wife.
As you wish, Mr. Hamden.
Thank you.
Though I would have preferred to talk to you before expelling your son.
Expelling?
Oh, Lord. Excuse me, won't you? Which son? Icarus, Max, or Johnny?
Maximilian.
Max?
Max, or as he is known throughout the school, Battling Maxie.
Battling Maxie? What's happened to him?
Well, he's in the best of health. I'm more concerned with what's happened to the other boys.
What have you done to him?
For the moment, I've locked him in the boiler room.
No, don't be evasive, Skillingworth. There must be some reason for this.
What has he done?
He has subjected the entire school to a reign of terror. This morning, one of the boys was knocked unconscious with a broken nose.
How awful.
Well, it could have been an accident.
Your son was overheard by two members of the staff saying, I quote, I'll get that bastard if it's the last thing I do.
Max, I don't understand.
He's only 12. Was it a little boy?
The latest victim was a boy of 15.
Oh, and the parents, do they know?
The parent in this latest case happens to be myself.
Oh, good Lord.
It was my son Richard who was attacked.
Your son, age 15, was attacked by my son, age 12. So you've come all the way here breathing vengeance and threatening expulsion? Oh, really, Skillingworth, I'll knock your block off.
John.
That'll teach you something about my brand of pacifism.
Mr. Hamblin, there's no point in bandying words. I felt it my duty to speak to you personally. Obviously, I made an error of judgment.
Oh, no, you don't. You don't wriggle out of your responsibilities as easily as that. I sent you a docile little boy of some 12 years with, if I remember correctly, a rather sweet disposition. Within a few months, you have turned him, if you are to be believed, into some kind of an unholy cross between Cassius Clay and Dracula.
I do not hold myself responsible for the entire behavior of all my pupils.
No, that's not what you told us when you were soliciting the enrollment of my boys.
I guarantee your moral background at Ferndale. That your son has had. What kind of a background he had before he came to us, I shudder to think.
Dr. Skillingworth.
A pacifist who threatens to knock people's blocks off.
Dr. Skillingworth, I will
not allow you. Who... A bear gun. Good day, sir.
Let me see you out.
Pompous ass. Oh, hello, Peter.
Headmaster gone.
Yes, he's like all the rest of them. Whenever a real problem presents itself, he tries to sidestep it instead of welcoming the chance to grapple with it as any good teacher would. I pity the poor kids who have him as their mentor.
Your own, for example?
Yes, we'll have to think about that. There are so many pitfalls for the young and so few good teachers.
He's got about as much sensitivity as a steamroller.
Who has?
Your husband has about as much consideration for anyone he comes up against. And what's that you've got?
Letter from the criminal himself written before the crime. School stinks. Food stinks. Old Skillingworth stinks. His son is a fifth columnist, always carrying tales. Evidence of premeditation. Don't want to go to university. University stinks. Oh, Lord, this'll please John.
What?
He wants to go to Sandhurst.
Who wants to go to Sandhurst?
Max.
Well, write and tell him, A, that half-murdering his fellow pupils is no part of the entrance examination, and B, that he isn't going anywhere. Have you seen volume 15 of the encyclopedia?
Oh, it should be in the study.
I know it should be in the study, but it hasn't been in the study since the boys were home for Christmas.
Oh, well, it must be in the glory hole. I'm sorry. I'll try and find it for you.
I suppose, Peter, being ex-Indian Army, you would approve of Sandhurst. Turn him into an officer and a gentleman.
I wasn't a gentleman. I was a bandmaster.
I see the hand of Cousin Peter in all this.
I don't see how Peter can be held responsible. He hasn't even seen Max since Christmas.
That's when he gave them that damn punch ball. We ought to get rid of it. In fact, their whole shrine of physical fitness should be dismantled.
I don't see why we should discourage the boy's interest in physical fitness.
I think Dr. Skillingworth does. Anyway, I think you ought to dismantle it while they're away.
Oh, it makes everything so final. The house is empty enough as it is. Here's the encyclopedia.
Oh, thank you. There's something I want to look up.
I'm worried, John.
This is volume 15. What?
Something must have happened to Max.
Nothing's happened to Max. Max is a perfectly normal little boy. And normal little boys love to pummel the living daylights out of other normal little boys. That's why perfectly normal little boys have to be educated. Skilling was obviously fallen down in his job. Anyway, he's exaggerating, battling Max. He probably aimed a swipe at young Skillingworth and he hadn't the brains to get out of the way. Ah, here we are. Answer it, will you, Stella?
Yes. Hello? No, I'm afraid Dr. Skillingworth has just left. You sound rather agitated. Nothing wrong, I hope. One of the teachers has been what? Shot?
Well,
he's not... Oh, I see. And do you know who... One of your boys. Oh.
What on earth?
They'd rung off.
Here, give it to me. I'll call. What's the number?
Webster, 2246.
Webster. Operator, this is Hampstead 6001. I want, what is it?
Webster
2246. Operator? operator. This is Hampstead 6001, and I'm still waiting for my call to Webster 2246. Well, keep on trying, will you? It's very important. How can a number possibly be engaged for 4 hours?
I suppose the school's in a bit of a flap.
If they hadn't rung off, we might know something.
Well, we know the teacher was shot in the leg. It might have been worse.
Well, if it had been Max, surely they would have told you.
Well, they probably didn't know who I was. Just a number where Skillingworth could be reached.
This is ridiculous.
Haven't you got through yet?
No, Mother.
You haven't?
Operator, this is Hampstead 6001. I want Webster 2246. I know you've been trying. I want you to try a little harder.
It would be quicker to go there. You're not surprised. You take a boy out of a good home and put him in a place where he's more or less free to do as he likes. What do you expect?
Oh, you don't expect him to shoot his teachers.
Don't you? When I was a girl, I nearly always wanted to shoot my teachers. And I never had a gun.
Well, school children don't usually go around armed. That's another thing we want to find out about Stella.
Progress, I suppose. Why don't you get the car out and run down?
Mother, will you please leave me to handle this in my own way?
Well, isn't that what you're doing? I was only trying to help.
Well, don't. Why does everybody nowadays suffer from ingrown megalomania?
I should have thought you might know the answer to that.
You put a simple issue before my meeting, and they turn it into a tortuous problem of self-examination. Now I can see them all 20 of them, in their separate homes, enumerating their conscientious doubts.
Doubt is something you don't know about, John. It can be a very real and very terrifying thing.
Well, why entertain it? Kick it out.
Well, how could you take action against something that compels you to inaction?
You've become very metaphysical all of a sudden. What's come over you?
Doubt.
What about, darling?
Us.
Us? Do you mean because of the boys, because of what's happened?
No, this has nothing to do with the boys. Well, at least I don't think so. Maybe it has. I don't know.
Look, I don't know what you're talking about. Are you all right?
No. I've got migraine, gastritis, and all 5 endocrine deficiencies. It can all be explained away physically. I'm sorry I mentioned it.
Well, there's no need to be sarcastic. Remember, I don't know what you're talking about yet.
Don't let that stop you. It doesn't usually.
Are you just trying to be bitchy?
Seems like it.
Well, you're succeeding.
Peter asked me to go to the prom with him tonight. I wish I'd gone.
Is this relevant, or are you just changing the subject?
Both. It's the last night tonight. I think this is the first season we've missed completely.
Oh, I've been busy, this ruddy peace manifesto. You wouldn't want to go to the last night anyway. Sea songs and Rule Britannia.
That's not the point. You might have noticed we hadn't been this year.
I suppose so. I'm sorry. You should have gone with Peter. He obviously wanted to hold your hand and sing Land of Hope and Glory at the top of his voice. He's probably played it often enough in some far-flung outpost of empire with nostalgic tears dripping down onto his euphonium.
Peter is a very sensitive person.
No, I didn't say he wasn't. One can be sensitive and still enjoy Land of Hope and Glory, I suppose.
Nothing I say seems to express what I mean.
Well, I'm glad you've noticed it too.
I feel alone, John.
Since when?
Well, I really don't know. Peter brought it home to me.
He's in love with you still?
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
And you?
I said I felt alone.
I'm sorry. I've been neglectful, I suppose. I should have been more thoughtful, especially when your nerves are a bit frayed.
My nerves are not frayed.
Look, I'm not saying they shouldn't be. You've got every right to be jumpy.
I am perfectly cool and calm.
I know. You're controlling yourself. That's what causes the strain.
I am not controlling myself.
Fine. Let yourself go. Feel a great deal better.
You are the most frustrated, pig-headed, insensitive hulk of complacent masculinity that any woman ever had to suffer. You're a jobber now.
What's that?
I don't know, but it describes you.
Chopper now? Nice.
I hate you.
Fine. Now let's do a little tidying up after the storm.
Well, if you think that the storm is over, you're very much mistaken. I meant every word I said, John.
People always mean what they say. But the human mind being what it is, people don't say what they mean. Stella, I'm sorry if I've been more than usually perfunctory.
Well, that's very handsome of you. You're always very good at noticing things when they're pointed out to you.
But I do wish you'd be less cryptic.
I think we've had it, John.
Now, what do you mean, we've had it?
Oh, not very eloquently expressed. Flat. That's how I feel.
Am I supposed to take this seriously?
I think you better.
I think that itinerant brass bandsman's at the bottom of this.
Peter had nothing to do with it. He's just opened my eyes a bit.
Oh, he's opened your eyes a bit. I suppose he keeps telling you how unhappy I've made you, and you believe him.
Well, I don't just believe him. But I can't help it if I agree with him, can I?
Oh, you agree with him? Nice times you must have had. He's got a nerve coming out of cold storage or wherever he's been with his puppy love fresh and his big brown eyes, and you fall for it?
I do not fall for
what
it.
What do you think he'd have been like if he'd lived with you for the past 18 years? You'd have knocked the puppy fat off him, I can tell you. He wouldn't be prancing around with dew in his eyes and honey on his tongue. And if you think I'm going to take this retreat from reason seriously, you're very much mistaken.
Scratch a man and you find a farmyard bull.
You don't imagine I'm jealous.
I don't have to imagine it.
Of that peripatetic wind instrument?
You're not only being mean and ridiculous, you're being irrelevant. Peter had nothing to do with this.
That's not what you said a minute ago.
I said he'd open my eyes a bit. You have no guarantee I'd have stayed blind indefinitely.
No, I haven't, have I? Stella.
And don't lose your temper again, either. Your sense of humor when you're being heavily sarcastic is much cheaper than you can afford.
Any news?
Any news? What of?
From school.
Oh, Lord. Operator, this is Hampstead 6001, and I'm still waiting for Webster 2246. Now, don't be ridiculous. How can it still be engaged?
One of those talkative mothers, I expect.
I'm not accusing you of anything. All right, I know you've a job to do. Well, for heaven's sake, do it.
I couldn't help hearing what you said when I came in, and I don't think you ought to quarrel at a time like this.
Why?
It's like laughing at a funeral. Your mind ought to be on other things.
No one's been killed, Mother, as far as we know.
No, I expect Max is feeling most unhappy. I don't know how you can sit there doing nothing when he needs you.
But what can we do? He's locked up.
Stella, a little boy of 12. Even murderers are allowed visitors. You know, you've grown to rely so on this inhuman instrument that you become inhuman yourself.
You're the most frightful hypocrite, Mother. You used to lock us up when we were little.
That's entirely different. I only locked you up when you misbehaved in some minor way. I never locked you up when you were really bad.
What did you do then?
I talked to them. When a child's been really bad, it needs your attention. When it's been only naughty, you can get rid of it for a while in perfect safety. I sometimes forgot about John for hours when I locked him in the cupboard. But he always came out looking exactly the same as when he went in. I think he enjoyed being locked up. Gave him time to think.
Yeah, I'll go and try them again in the study.
I don't think Max is likely to justify himself in taking a pot shot at his teacher. That's what he did.
Of course he is. Probably done it by now. He's very like John, you know. John could justify absolutely anything. You had to be very careful how you punished him. Catch him when he wasn't looking and give him a quick belt. Over in a minute. No time to brood. That's what he needs at the moment, I shouldn't wonder.
Shall I leave you alone with him?
Oh, no. I washed my hands of him 18 years ago. I think I'll leave you if you don't mind.
Forgive him first and belt him afterwards.
Listen, Stella. Just because the boys aren't here to distract us, we don't have to keep on quarrelling, do we? There must be other ways of passing the time.
What did they say?
Oh, they'll ring as soon as the number's free.
It is a bit unsatisfactory, just waiting like this.
We could always play canasta.
I should think your mother would find that even more heartless, like playing cards on the coffin.
Your mind, if I may say so, seems to incline towards the morbid this evening.
By that you mean to imply that my attitude towards you is equally abnormal?
I suggest that the least you can do is to tell me what I've done.
Well, you haven't done anything, John. You haven't been a drunkard or beaten me up or been unfaithful. You've kept me well provided for in a comfortable home. And I'm leaving you, John. I'm leaving you.
But why?
Because I'd rather go now like this than let it drift on and on. I want to go now while we still respect each other. Oh, please don't think I regret anything or blame you for anything. I don't. We've known real happiness together, John. Perhaps that's why I can't stand it anymore.
Hey.
No, don't touch me, John. I'm all right.
What's come over you? Darling, you're all muddled up.
I never thought you'd have an emotional scene with me, did you? Not that kind. Well, it's never too late.
I'll get you some brandy.
I don't want it, thank you. We should stop implying there's something wrong with me.
Well, isn't there? I mean, there must be.
I am perfectly sound in wind and limb and in mind. I'm sorry I went emotional on you, but I'm not completely heartless.
You heard Mother saying that Max needed you. He does, you know.
Well, I'm not going to cut my throat or banish myself to Timbuktu. I'll be around somewhere. Anyway, I'm not going until we've heard about Max.
Shall I renew your subscription to the library?
Is that important?
Oh, it's overdue. Remember when this photograph was taken? In Switzerland, the summer after Icarus was born. You haven't changed much.
I have.
15 years. Remarkable, really.
I didn't have crow's feet round my eyes.
No, it was a good holiday.
It was the worst holiday we ever had.
Was it?
It was the year you broke your leg.
Stella, I wish I knew what the hell it's all about.
Subtlety was never your strong point, was it?
Oh, don't be ridiculous. I'm a writer.
Oh, yes. I suppose if I worked up to a flaming row, called you everything under the sun, put on a wild fit of hysteria and ran sobbing out of your life forever, you dimly grasped that something wasn't quite right.
Now, be reasonable, Stella.
That's just what I am being. I'd like to do all those things, but I'm trying to be decently grown up and it isn't easy.
I'm sure it's very difficult. I only wish I knew what you were trying to be grown up about.
About being a cipher. About being ignored. About having no apparent significance in life. I don't know what you want from a wife, but whatever it is, you don't need one.
Good heavens, is that all it is?
Doesn't seem much to you, does it? Well, it's a great deal to me. I'm not going to finish my life swept into a corner with the rest of your rubbish.
Let's talk about this in a reasonable...
Oh, talk, talk, talk. You don't talk about feelings. You feel about them, if you have any.
Stella, I'm probably a completely inadequate human being. I'm sure any man is when confronted with the complexities of the female mind, but I'd like you to know that I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Fine.
Good. At last. Hello? Skillingworth, yes? No. No, they're not here.
Who's not here?
What do you mean they're not at the school?
The boys.
You mean they've run away? What time did you miss them? Then why the hell did you phone before? Look, I better come down right away. Oh, I see. Have you told the police?
Told them what?
To look for the boys. You'll phone if you hear anything. All right, we'll ring you if the boys show up here. Well, what's the phone number? Write it down, sir.
Yes.
2238.
Yes, Webster.
Webster, 2238, right? Yeah, we'll ring you if they turn up. Goodbye. School phone's out of order. Skillingworth's phoning from a call box.
They've all run away. Johnny, too.
Apparently, they went about four. And the silly fools expected them to show up at bedtime. That's why they've only phoned now.
Oh, shouldn't we go down?
No, they think they're probably making for here. They'll show up. Whenever you're in trouble, you make for home. Hello? Hello, yes? Telegram, Stella. Write it down.
Yes.
Yes? Arrived fairly safely. Fairly safely? I see, yeah. Back soon. Icarus, Max, and Johnny. Thank you. Yes, please do. They're sending a copy round.
Where was it handed in?
Where was it handed in? In Luxembourg, thank you.
Luxembourg?
Luxembourg? That can't be right. Would you mind repeating that? I see. Just handed in at 8:30. In Luxembourg.
Right, Miss Bates. Now bring in Charles Payton.
Yes, Dr. Skillingworth. Come in, Payton.
Yes, Miss Betts.
Come here, Payton.
Yes, sir.
I understand that you wish to make a statement.
Yes, sir.
Do you wish me to stay, Dr. Skillingworth?
Yes, please. I want you to take notes.
Very good.
You may proceed, Payton.
Yes, sir.
I'm waiting.
Yes, sir. I was in the plot, sir.
Ah, he was a plot.
Yes, sir. To rescue Maxie, sir. From the boiler room, sir.
Might you understand that his conduct met with your approval?
It was a fair fight, sir. Skilly accepted the challenge. He got what was coming to him. Was what we all thought, sir. Of course, it was bad luck he fell on a stone. But that wasn't Maxie's fault, sir.
I see. And what part did you play in the work of rescue?
I created a diversion, sir.
A diversion?
At 15:29 hours. We set our watches in Latin prep.
And who are we?
Me and Johnny, sir.
Johnny and I.
No, sir. It was Johnny and me.
I see. Am I to understand, then, that John Hampden was in the plot, too?
Oh, yes, sir. It was his show.
His show?
His show, sir.
His plan?
Yes, sir. His plan.
And what was your diversion, I think you called it?
Well, sir, I fell down at the far end of the quad and wriggled about with horrible pains in my stomach.
Imaginary pains?
Yes, sir.
To distract attention?
To create a diversion, sir.
And what happened then?
At 15:30, the others broke the boiler house window. That's why I had to howl with pain.
To drown the noise?
Yes, sir.
And did you?
Oh, yes, sir.
And who were the others?
Johnny and Icarus, sir.
Oh, it was a family affair.
Apart from me and Daventry, sir.
And did you see what happened next?
Well, not exactly, sir. But I know the plot.
Yes? Go on.
Well, Icarus was to nip in the window, sir, and shin down the central heating pipes. They're never very hot, sir.
Oh.
Then he was to give Maxie a leg up, and they were to haul him up and make for the gate. And Daventry was posted there to give them the all clear.
But, of course, the operation miscarried.
Yes, sir. Old Sykes messed it up.
What?
Well, I mean, sir, Mr. Sykes came along.
Attracted, no doubt, by your howls of pain.
Yes, sir. He must have seen them coming out of the window, sir. So then Max let him have it. Then they beat it.
It was Max who had the gun?
Yes, sir.
And do you know how he acquired it?
He got it from Icarus, sir.
Oh. Well, how did Icarus acquire it?
He didn't acquire it. He made it.
He made a gun?
Yes, sir. He's very good with his hands.
I find this rather difficult to believe, Peyton. You're quite sure he made it?
Oh, yes, sir.
Where?
Here, sir. In Metal Workshop, sir.
With Mr. Aintree's knowledge?
Well, sir, I think he made it during useful work, sir.
Well, he should have been doing school repairs.
Well, sir, metal things don't often get broken. That's why there's such a rush on Metal Shop for useful work.
So that they can make guns?
Well, sir, quite a few of them have tried it. But they tried to make revolvers, and that's a bit difficult. Icarus had the idea of making a pocket blunderbuss.
See.
It fires a 2-2 ball bearing, sir.
So they discovered at the hospital last night.
Mr. Sykes is all right, sir, I hope.
As well as be expected, he's suffering from a flesh wound in the thigh and severe shock.
Yes, sir. They shouldn't have given him alcohol, sir.
Who shouldn't?
The other masters. They gave him a swig of brandy. Sweet tea would have been better.
I don't think we need go into that bit.
No, sir.
Have you anything else to offer?
I'd like you to know why I'm coming clean, sir.
Why you are confessing?
Yes, sir. I knew Max had the gun, sir, but I didn't know he was carrying it. That's why I'm coming clean.
You think they should have told you?
Oh, yes, sir. If we'd have known they were armed, we might have backed out.
Might? Only might?
Well, it's a bit difficult to say, sir.
Oh. Ah, the telephone. I must have found the fault.
Dr. Skillingworth, Secretary. Yes, just one moment, please. It's the post office engineer. He'd like a word with you, Dr. Skillingworth.
Sit down, Peyton, over there.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Skillingworth speaking. I see. With a pair of pliers, you think? Most interesting. Pair? Oh, you found the gun. Indeed, that may prove of vital importance. Where are you speaking from? Oh, you sent a man up with it. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Miss Betts, perhaps I can trouble you to go to the front door and wait for an exhibit, which is on its way up here.
Yes, Dr. Skillingworth. I'm so sorry, Mr. Hamden.
Does he intend to keep us here all the morning?
Well, I have told Dr. Skillingworth that you're here.
Ah. And now, Peyton, have you anything further to contribute to our knowledge?
No, sir.
Had they made plans for their escape?
I don't know, sir.
I've just learned that the telephone wires were cut about half a mile from the school. Was that premeditated?
Eh?
Did you know that that would be done?
No, sir.
Do you know where they meant to go?
No, sir.
Does it surprise you that they are all in Luxembourg?
Luxembourg?
Mr. Hampton had a telegram last night. Does it surprise you?
They must have gone a bit off their line, sir.
What exactly do you mean?
Well, it seemed a bit far away, sir.
That was what you meant?
Yes, sir.
Curious choice of words.
Yes, sir. I'm not very good at English, sir.
Have you told him we're waiting?
I'll remind him now.
Thank you.
Here is the exhibit, Dr. Skillingworth.
Thank you. It's not loaded, I suppose.
Soon find out, sir. Empty, sir. Being fired?
We gathered it had.
Mr. and Mrs. Hamden are still outside.
Yes. You have nothing more use to tell me, Peyton?
No, sir.
You're quite sure? Honesty will be taken into account when I come to assess your punishment.
Nothing more, sir.
You may go.
Thank you, sir.
Clarence Daventry next, I think.
Oh, but very good, Dr. Skillingworth.
And high time, too. Will you kindly tell him I hadn't all day to waste?
Yes, certainly. Daventry, will you come in, please?
Can I help you, sir?
Come on in, Stella. He's not getting away with this damn nonsense. Now, look here, Skillingworth. I do not intend to sit tapping my heels while you put the home school through the third degree.
You wish to see me?
No, but it looks as if I'll have to.
That's enough, Daventry. You may go.
Yes, sir.
Let me get you a chair, Mrs. Hampton.
Oh, thank you.
Before our interview, Mr. Hampton, I had hoped to be in full possession of the facts.
I've not come down here for an interview, Dr. Skillingworth. I've come to make a number of complaints and to ask a number of questions. Now, first of all...
John, Dr. Skillingworth, have you heard from Luxembourg?
I'm afraid we've heard nothing yet.
I have a number of questions to ask, and it strikes me that we might as well take them in their proper sequence. Now, in the first place, how does it happen that a boy entrusted to your care has access to a gun? Have you an armory at Ferndale?
We have a metal workshop. Perhaps you'd care to see this.
This is the gun?
Made in the school.
I am, as you know, a devotee of modern educational methods, but isn't this going a little too far?
It was made outside the curriculum.
A spare time job?
In useful work.
Oh, well named.
By your son.
By Max?
No, by Icarus, who seemed to have given it to Max.
I see. When I was a boy, and that isn't so long ago either, we made bows and arrows.
Dr. Skillingworth, why have they run away?
Well,
quite clearly, there's something radically wrong with your methods.
My methods have been successful with other boys. To me, the inference is quite clear. Well, there is something radically wrong with your family.
That remark is not only contemptible, it's probably slanderous.
Please, please, what's the point in trying to find out who's responsible until we know what they're responsible for?
We know that the shot was fired by your son, Max, and we know that Mr. Sykes is lying in hospital with a bullet wound in his thigh.
Mr. Sykes is lying in hospital with a bullet wound in his thigh because of a gun made here in your school under your very nose.
No.
Dr. Skillingworth, step into me. One moment, please. Dr. Erskine from the hospital. He'd like to speak to you.
Oh. You'll excuse me, I hope. Dr. Skillingworth speaking. Good. I see. But why, Dr. Erskine? Of course you must fill in the certificate. But really, your professional conscience must clearly be satisfied... But you understand, of course, that any publicity which may leak out will be most unwelcome. No one is asking you to falsify anything, Dr. Erskine, but I would not have thought it necessary to describe a ball bearing as a bullet. A ball bearing wound in the thigh of Mr. Sykes. Yes, I see your point, but must you be explicit? Ah, a foreign body lodged in thigh. Oh, yes, excellent. Accurate. But I'm revealing. Thank you, Dr. Erskine. Goodbye. Now, Mr. Hampton.
My next question is already partly answered by your phone call. The missile, it appears, was nothing more deadly than a ball bearing. But that leaves unanswered the question of the explosive, presumably gunpowder. Have you anything to say about that?
Gunpowder, you know, is a simple mixture of quite commonplace ingredients. Its manufacture presents no problems.
It is taught here in the school?
I should think it's part of any chemistry course.
So my boys are taught to make gunpowder. Who teaches them?
Mr. The science master.
Who's that?
Mr. Sykes.
Mr. Sykes? Well, perhaps in future Mr. Sykes will think twice before he teaches boys to make gunpowder.
I hardly think Mr. Sykes can be held responsible for the use made of the knowledge he imparts.
Oh, that's more in your department. I'm coming to that. Anyway, Mr. Sykes has had a sharp lesson. I think it's time you had a sharp lesson, too.
If you two intend to go on bickering like this, I shall leave.
We must get a clear picture of what's happened.
All I want is a clear picture of where the boys are, how they got there, and whether they're all right.
I appreciate your anxiety, Mrs. Hampton, but so far we know nothing. We've telephoned the constable.
And the police?
Well, I hardly think...
You're afraid of publicity, too?
There's no point in dragging in the police.
Quite.
I think you're contemptible, both of you.
Really?
There are three boys, remember? They must have been driven beyond endurance to do a thing like this. And you can sit there and squabble about trivialities and refuse to do all that lies in your power to help them because you're afraid you might get your names in the papers and the people might laugh at you. Well, I'm laughing at you. I don't see why other people shouldn't, too. I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to the police, and I'm going to the press. I'm going now.
Stella!
Mrs. Hampton!
And your...
you're not going to stop me either.
Do you realize that the school will be ruined?
What do you think will happen to the peace manifesto if this story gets out?
If neither of them can survive the exploits of Icarus, Max, and Johnny, then it's just as well they fizzle out.
I don't think you realize what you're saying.
Most certainly you don't.
What are you worrying about, anyway?
Obviously, the pupils will be withdrawn. I would have to close the school.
Rubbish. I think half the boys in England would be clamoring to gain admittance. The school where you're actually taught to make guns and gunpowder, where you can actually shoot one of your persecutors who've been made for life. But I'd be ruined. I can see the headlines now. Armed aggression in the academy. Pacifist's son tips pedagogue. All the graft and grind I've put in to get authors to face their responsibilities would go for nothing. And all because of you and what you've done to my children. I wish to heaven they'd shot you instead of Sykes.
One can see from whom they inherit the vicious streak in their natures.
Now, listen.
From their mother. He only talks, I act. And I'm going to act now. Will you get me the police, please, Miss Betts?
I forbid it.
Very well. I'll go to the nearest call box.
Which is several miles away.
Can I have the keys of the car?
No.
In that case, I'll walk.
In which case, I will regretfully lock the door.
May I have the key of my study?
No.
Oh. You know, it strikes me that we are scarcely behaving as responsible adults.
That has been striking me monotonously for the last half hour.
In order to behave like a responsible adult, it is first necessary to be one.
Are you there, Dr. Skinningwell?
Yes, Mr. Johnson, what is it?
Nothing, sir. It's just that we have an appointment at 11 o'clock to discuss the new timetable.
I'll be over right away.
Right. Thank you, sir.
You'll excuse me, I hope. Mr. Hamden. I have a school to run.
All right. I'll open the door.
Hank. Will you bring the new timetable, Miss Fitz?
Very good, Dr. Skillingworth.
I don't suppose you're even aware how petty and childish your behavior has been. Oh, for the best possible reasons, of course. I suppose all the big decisions in the world are taken by the men who've been wrong about the little ones. I wonder how many happy fathers there are, if you know. None, I should think.
Are you implying that I'm not a happy father?
I doubt if you're a father at all, except in the strictly biological sense. Well, you're certainly not acting like one.
Stella, I wish we could get out of this nightmare we've drifted into. We seem to be incapable of talking to each other without quarreling.
Don't worry, you haven't changed. There's a knock on the door.
I think you've taken leave of your senses. Who are you?
Daventry, sir.
Come in.
Oh, I couldn't help it. They made me.
You couldn't help what?
Being in on the plot. Do you know where they are? You're Icky's father, aren't you?
Well, Icarus is my son.
Oh, I thought so. I popped in as soon as the coast was clear. I've got a message.
From Icarus?
Yes. He's scared you'll gum up his works.
And what exactly are his works?
Well, they're pretty important.
What is he afraid of?
Scared you'll go to the police. He knew old Skilly wouldn't because it would look bad for the school, but he thought you might.
Why shouldn't we?
Oh, you mustn't. That was Icky's message. Tell them to trust me, he said. So I'm telling you.
You're going to tell us more than that. Where have the boys gone?
On a mission.
A mission?
What for?
Look, Mr. Hamden, if I told you, they might never forgive me. You wouldn't want that.
I don't think it would worry me unduly.
They might never forgive you, either.
I don't think even that would break my heart.
If I was Icky's father, I'd be proud of it.
If you were Icky's father, you would have every right to be.
The chaps think he's pretty special. They'd do anything for him.
Oh?
Chaps think you're all right, too.
Oh, that's very decent of the chaps.
Well, you're not as bad as most. At least you're trying to do something about it.
About what?
War.
War? Well, what's that got to do with Icarus?
Everything. You see, we're the chaps who are going to cop it if there's a war. It's all very well for the old fogies. They'll be out of it. But we'll be in it, up to the neck. That's what Icky says.
Does he? Then he's told you about my plea for peace.
Oh, yes.
So, on the whole, you approve of my activities?
Well, not really.
Hmm?
Matter of fact, we think they're a waste of time. Lots of blokes signing their names on bits of paper. Old blokes, too, most of them.
Oh.
World's full of them. Never gets anywhere much. Well, does it?
Well, it's got us where we are.
Well, exactly. Two old blokes sign a treaty, and what happens? Two other old blokes come along and tear it up. Millions of people sign a peace pledge. What happens? War. Just signing things is a waste of paper and ink. That's what Icky says.
What was your name?
Daventry.
Haven't you another name?
LW. Long wave, see?
Oh, yes. Well, look here, LW. We're worried about the boys. Now, if you want to stop me going to the police, you will have to tell me more than you have so far.
You don't have to worry. Icarus will get them there.
Where?
Look, I've told you a great deal more than we told old Skilly. He thinks it was something Johnny thought up to get Maxie out of the boiler house. But it's bigger than that. The whole school's in this. All except young Skilly. That was why Maxie took him on, to put the fear of death in him. He won't talk.
Where will Icarus get Max and Johnny too?
That's asking.
Do I understand that you've misled Dr. Skillingworth?
Here and there. We cooked up something for him, and Charlie Payton gave it to him. We thought he'd swallow it better from young Charlie.
You still haven't given me any reason why we shouldn't go to the police.
I've told you. Icky wouldn't like it.
But that's hardly a reason.
Oh, I wouldn't like to be you if Icky finds out you've gone to the police.
I wouldn't like to be Icky when we find out what he's done.
Oh, you'll approve.
You can hardly expect me to approve of the beginning.
You mean old Sykes?
I mean old Sykes.
Oh, it was a pity he got in the way. But when it comes to big issues, the individual doesn't matter.
Good heavens, are you a fascist?
No, I'm not.
What do you believe in, then?
Well, I believe in following people who've got the right idea.
Like Icky?
Yes, like Icky. There's a bloke called Carpenter who thinks he teaches us, but he doesn't know what it's all about. We get it from Icky.
Do you?
Carpenter spends all his time showing us how all the religions are different from each other. Then Icky shows us why they're all the same.
And you think Icky is better than Carpenter?
Of course he is. Carpenter doesn't have a look in.
Really? Look, this is all very interesting, Daventry, but it isn't
getting us anywhere, is it?
Well, I don't know. It's wasting time. The more time I can waste, the better.
Well, that's frank enough. But don't you think you ought to take us into your confidence?
Yes, LW, why don't you?
I'd like to, but... Well, I don't trust you, sir. And Mrs. Hamden might panic.
Panic?
Daventry, where are the boys and when are they coming back?
What happens to people when they grow up?
What do you mean?
Why do they get lost?
Lost?
It's funny, you'd think things would get clearer and clearer, but they just seem to get more complicated. Grown-up people are always in a muddle.
And young people are always too sure of themselves.
Well, it's better than being in a muddle.
Is it?
If you hadn't grown up into a muddle, you'd see you have to trust us to find our own salvation. You can't find it for us, can you? Can't even find it for yourselves. Don't you think people have a bit of a nerve expecting kids to think grown-ups know better?
Oh, I suppose that's true when you think of it.
Is this Icky again?
Yes, we get it all from Icky.
And he's gone off on a mission?
Yes, sir.
And you don't think there's anything to worry about?
Of course not. Icky can take care of himself.
And Max and Johnny?
It horrifies me to think I'm growing up. Can't you take anything on trust?
I'm sorry, but you must admit we're entitled to be worried.
Why?
Well, first Dr. Skillingworth arrives and says Max is going to be expelled.
Lucky Max. Wish they'd expel me.
Then they ring up and say that one of the masters has been shot.
Shot? He wasn't shot. He just got a ball bearing stuck up his leg. I've had one in my arm. Look, Mrs. Hampton. Look.
Ooh.
Nothing to make a fuss about. Icky took that one out.
Who put it in?
Icky. You see, he has a theory that pain is all imagination. Works, too. Now, what else worried you?
Well, then we heard the boys had run away, and that now they're in Luxembourg.
Oh, they'll have moved on by this time.
Moved on? Surely you see, Daventry, that all this leaves unanswered a number of questions that are, to put it mildly... faintly disquieting?
Such as?
Where did they get the money for this continental trip?
That's another thing that happens to you when you grow up. You think you can't do anything without money.
But they must have flown. Now, where did they get the tickets?
They didn't need tickets.
Well, did they stow away?
Only place you can stow away in an aeroplane is the undercarriage. Icky wouldn't do that, especially with Johnny. It's too dangerous. But if you want to do something badly enough, there's always a way.
You're wasting time again, aren't you?
I like talking.
So do I. Now, in the course of our very pleasant conversation, it has become clear that you are in possession of certain facts that we should like to share with you. Do you mean to share them? Or shall we begin to try to find them out elsewhere?
I've told you Icky's message. Tell them to trust me. Don't you trust him?
Frankly, no.
Oh. Well, if you don't trust him, why did you send him to a boarding school?
I imagine he would be subject to proper care and supervision.
You mean you trusted old Skilly?
Yeah, I suppose so.
You don't like boarding school?
Oh, I don't mind it. But I can see that perhaps day school's best all round.
How?
Icky has a theory that boarding schools are all right for the kids, but they're not so good for the parents.
What?
You see, Icky's theory is that the family's a natural unit.
Well, that's fairly obvious.
But he thinks that if you upset the balance of it,
Well, it may go to pieces. If you send the kids away, the parents may separate. Mine did.
I'm sorry about that, L.W.
Happens to lots of kids. You get used to it. Icky says that parents can't always adjust themselves to the strain of not having a family around.
Icky seems to have given this matter a lot of thought.
He wrote a paper on it last term. He's gone off sociology a bit now, though. More interested in politics, as you've probably gathered.
L.W., if being separated from their children is a strain on the parents, doesn't it work the other way, too? Doesn't something happen to the children?
Well, a lot of the kids brought that up when Icky read the paper. They said they were a lot happier now than when they were at home. But Icky said kids are a lot more adaptable than grown-ups, so they can adjust themselves to life without their parents much more easily than parents can adjust themselves to life without their kids.
Did he have any more pearls of wisdom?
Well, he finished up by saying that though it looks as if the parents made the home for the kids, it's really the kids who make the home for the parents.
Oh.
A sort of paradox. Don't suppose you agree with it?
No.
No, he said that parents couldn't be expected to.
I see.
I've got a copy of the paper if you'd like to see it. Would you?
Yes, I would, very much.
Well, I'll see if I can find it then. Oh, it's locked.
Just a minute.
Thanks. Won't be long.
Remarkable boy.
Daventry or Icarus?
Icarus too, I suppose. They seem to take life very seriously. Poor little devils.
Strange how little one knows about them.
They do seem fairly independent.
They don't need us, but we need them. When Daventry talked about his parents splitting up, I could have hugged him.
He'd have been horribly embarrassed.
I know. He doesn't need our sympathy, but we need to give it. We need them to need us, John. When you send them away, they learn not to.
I know it's all very worrying, Stella, but for heaven's sake, try to keep your sense of proportion. You can't go hanging your faith on the obiter dicta of a boy still in his teens.
Well, give me the credit for having a mind of my own. Because you happen to agree with someone, it doesn't necessarily mean you're being spoon-fed. You made the same rather unflattering comments when I agreed with Peter. I think Icarus is right. I think parents need their children. I think we've gone on the rocks because we threw them overboard. Emotional ballast.
Emotional bilge.
Well, well.
Who the hell are you?
Eason's the name, Daily Gazette.
And how long have you been standing there?
About 15 seconds. Why?
Well, don't you knock on doors?
Never. In my job, if you knock on doors, you never get in. And in my job, you've got to get in. Dr. Skillingworth, I presume?
Wrongly.
Oh. Any idea where he is?
None.
Mind if I wait for him?
Yes, I do, actually.
Pity. I'm still staying. Don't mind me. I'll listen with an open mind to anything you have to say.
You've been drinking.
Continuously for about 30 years. Does it show?
Only in your character.
Didn't know I had any of that left.
I should have said in the remnants of your character. What brings you here?
A little bird whispered in my editor's ear that there was a story to be told from the escapades of Dr. Skillingworth's infants. So we'll send Deason, he said.
How did you hear about it?
Oh, we have spies everywhere. The world is a vast network of spies, all in the pay of the Daily Gazette.
I think you'd better leave us.
No, John. Do you know where they are?
He doesn't know anything, Stella. He's only trying to make you give something away.
Never. We pay the market price. If you know something you shouldn't, then obviously we should. Ring up the Gazette and collect your 30 pieces of silver. We pay the traditional price for all information.
What exactly do you know?
So you are the unhappy parent.
Has there been a report from the continent?
For heaven's sake, Stella, he's only trying to provoke you.
You wrong me, sir. I am only the humble servant of our great master, Truth. It is life which provokes. Life is the agent provocateur which tempts us all, even the little children, into actions which will titillate the jaded palates of our 3.5 million readers.
If you print a word of this, I shall sue you for libel. Anyway, I don't think you know anything.
Even supposing I don't, which you know must be wrong or I wouldn't be here, don't you think I can find out from the teachers, from the boys, from the various eyewitnesses?
If you know anything that we don't, I think you might have the common decency to tell us.
You don't expect common decency from a newspaper.
You often get it. Let me begin by putting one of my cards on the table. we have a report from a continental correspondent that the children of Mr. and Mrs. John Hamden have been traced.
Oh!
Does that interest you?
Are they all right?
So far as we know.
Was it from Luxembourg?
Stella! I wasn't told. But now I've shown my good faith, perhaps you'll reciprocate by confirming why they ran away.
Well, I suppose...
He's bluffing, Stella. Everything he's told us he's learned from you since he came into the room. The only thing to do is to refuse to speak.
And the shooting? Did you tell me that, too?
What do you want?
Personally, nothing. Professionally, the scrapings from the bottom of the barrel. That's where the dirt collects.
You'll get nothing from me or my wife. You'll get nothing from Dr. Skillingworth or the teaching staff. And I'll see to it that you get nothing from any of the boys.
So there is something to hide. That's the fourth item of information you've provided. Are you still sure I'll get nothing?
Would you like to go before I kick you out?
Coming from you, that would be a story in itself.
Can I quote you?
Now, listen. I'm a pacifist by nature, though not by conviction. You, it appears, are the reverse.
Here it is, Mrs. Hamden.
Oh, thank you, L.W.
Daventry, I want you to do something for me.
Yes, sir?
This gentleman is from the press.
Oh, I know, sir.
I want you to go around all the boys in person and make sure that not one of them speaks to him.
Oh, Lord. Bit late for that, sir.
Do you mean he's done it already?
Oh, he didn't get anything out of them, though. Chap shut up like clams.
In bribery failed. Quite remarkable esprit de corps at Ferndale.
That's icky. He put the fear of death in them all before he left.
I was getting rapidly nowhere until I bumped into you, Mr. Hamden.
Oh, sir.
He's bluffing, Daventry. He doesn't know a thing.
What's this bit of paper, L.W.?
Oh, that's it. His flying log.
His flying log?
Yes, you know. Hours in the air, hours at the controls, weather conditions.
Hours in the air?
You mean in an aeroplane?
Yes, didn't you know?
No.
Oh. Potter's old man has a plane. He keeps it at the flying club. He sometimes takes us up when he's here at weekends.
Does Dr. Skillingworth know about this?
Good Lord, no. You won't tell him, will you?
You said hours of the controls.
Yes. Potter's old man says Icky's a natural flyer.
Oh, does he? Do you mean to say that he's actually flown an aeroplane?
With Mr. Potter beside him. He hasn't done any solo flying yet. At least, I mean, Mr. Potter doesn't let him fly solo yet. Mr. Potter is tremendously cautious.
I think that you might tell us all that you know. Saving the presence of our friend, eh?
Don't mind me. I couldn't be happier. Unless, of course, you have an illicit still on the premises.
Well, we have, as a matter of fact.
What?
Oh, for engines and things like that. We don't drink it.
Stella, I've been putting two and two together, and I don't like what they add up to. I want a word with you, Daventry, outside. Oh, it's you, Dr. Skillingworth. Just the person I wanted to see.
What are you doing in my study, Daventry?
Mrs. Hamden sent for me.
Oh, did she? Hand me that envelope, Miss Pitts.
Yes, Dr. Skillingworth.
Thank you. This is for you, Mr. Hamden. A bill for the cost of a temporary science master for 3 weeks. I don't see why the boys should suffer.
Now, look here, Skillingworth.
Just a moment. Who are you?
Eason of the Daily Gazette.
Never mind about him.
May I congratulate you on your scholastic establishment? Never a dull moment.
Dr. Skillingworth's secretary.
Now, look here, Skillingworth.
Who gave you permission to come here?
God, who gave me legs to walk.
Skillingworth, I've been finding out from Daventry here that certain things have been going on that you ought to know about.
Oh, sir, you promised you wouldn't.
This call, Doctor, it's the secretary of the Flying Club.
Hello? Would you mind repeating that? What? My boy steal an aeroplane? Don't be ridiculous.
Sitting beside the telephone all day won't help, Stella. You'll know soon enough what's happened.
Yes, I know. But the police said they'd be certain to have some news before 6.
They must be all right, or they couldn't have sent the telegram.
Yes, that's true enough.
I suppose I ought to behave like the conventional family friend and talk about something else to take your mind off it.
You don't have to.
I don't intend to. I have to go away tomorrow, and, well, I can't go away without saying what I think about John.
I suppose you think I ought to pack up and leave him.
Well...
You're wrong.
You want to pretend you like being trampled on?
No, I don't like it. But I have a strange feeling that it's almost irrelevant.
Irrelevant? Surely it's the whole point.
The whole point of my relationship with John, perhaps. But when you marry someone, Peter, you don't just marry an individual. You marry an ever-widening series of social relations.
Well, yes, but...
John and I may be a bit battered, but we have moved on. You've stayed in the bank, Peter, miles up.
It's easy to offer dispassionate criticism when you're not up to your neck in the struggle yourself.
And it's easier to come to valid judgment.
Sometimes. My love for John started as an illusion. The illusion that he was the most wonderful man I'd met and that I couldn't live without him. Both wrong. What is it now? Three boys, a home, friends, and the knowledge that he's one of the most aggravating people alive. That's real love.
So love only comes if one of the partners is excessively aggravating?
Both the partners are always excessively aggravating. Love only comes when you survive the discovery. Oh, John, any news?
A great deal of notoriety, but no news. Here are the papers. If I had the little devils here, I'd tan the hides off them.
That's precisely what I've been advising Stella to do. To you.
Well, would you like to try it?
If I didn't actually know you, I wouldn't believe you could exist. Words are unequal to the task of describing you. One can only admit defeat and say you're impossible, like purple cow.
Oh, don't aggravate him, Peter.
As well try to aggravate a rhinoceros with a pea shooter. The only intelligent way to treat a rhinoceros is to leave it alone.
Jobber now.
You've been round to the Gazette office.
Deason wasn't in. Perhaps it's just as well. I might have been tempted to throttle him.
They haven't heard anything more?
No.
Oh, it's frustrating not being able to do anything, just sitting and waiting.
When other people shoot and run away, they can go out and look for them. Ours have to steal an aeroplane.
What could have impelled them to do it?
They probably did it because the food was bad this term. When children really want to do something, they don't look for adequate reasons. They obviously wanted to steal an aeroplane.
If you're perfectly happy, you can't just suddenly want to steal an aeroplane.
Why not?
Well, not if you're properly adjusted.
No one is properly adjusted. Except perhaps an octogenarian millionaire. And even he wishes he was young again. Well, you'll see that they're properly adjusted this time. Adjusted to the idea that when you do something, you take the consequences.
I don't know how you can talk like that, John. Something terrible may have happened to them. Three English children can't possibly disappear in a country as small as Luxembourg.
Apparently, these children can do anything if they want to. They're probably hiding in a wood, living on nuts, waiting for Icky to give them permission to come out. I think they're having a high old picnic.
Oh, well, really.
I'm just as worried as you are. But when I hear that the police forces of half Europe are hot on the trail, I tell myself it's illogical to worry about Icarus, Max and Johnny. I'm worrying about myself.
Well, I must say, you are the...
Look, my photograph. As a distinguished author? No. As the organizer of the author's plea for peace? No. Father of Ferndale's flying family.
Well, it does mention you're a pacifist.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Hamden's pacifist principles are well known, but not apparently to his family. Here's another. Icarus flies again. So far, Mr. Hamden refuses to comment on the activities of his sons. Well, I'll comment soon enough if anyone cares to listen.
I know it's unpleasant for you, John.
Unpleasant? That's a masterpiece of understatement.
But the boys weren't to know all this publicity would happen.
No, I'll bet they're counting on it to further their mission. They want to see screaming headlines on the state of food in Britain's boarding schools. They'll probably say they had to fly to the continent to get a square meal.
Icarus isn't a child, John. He's 16. He's growing up.
Does that affect his appetite?
He's a responsible person.
Responsible? He makes guns, shoots teachers.
That was Max.
Oh, yes, yes. Shooting teachers is kid stuff for Icky. He has to pinch aeroplanes and go zooming off to the continent with two children on board. Responsible.
Well, I only meant...
And all my work's for them, too. That's the irony of it. They'll suffer in the next war more than we will. They're too young to know about it, so you try to do something for them. Try to make life easier for them. But what do? Shoot their teachers like the little undisciplined savages they are. Go off for joyrides in stolen aeroplanes. Bring all your efforts clattering down on your head. I don't know.
I'd better go and see who that is.
If it's a newspaper, tell them I'm not interested unless they give me half a page and let me read the proofs. Author's plea for peace. Father of Ferndale's flying family.
It's Dr. Skillingworth.
Oh! I'm surprised you should venture in here, Dr. Skillingworth.
Mrs. Hamden tells me you have no further news.
No?
I have.
Yes?
The company with which Mr. Potter's aeroplane is insured threatens to sue the school for the full value of the machine if it is not recovered. Some £2,000.
Good.
I've just left my solicitors, Mr. Hamden. They tell me without a shadow of doubt I am entitled to recover from you if the case goes against me.
Has it occurred to you that I shall be suing you?
For what, may I ask?
Among other things, for deformation of character.
Deformation of character?
Yes, yes. A much more serious offence than the commoner defamation of character. In that, the character, while defamed, remains unaltered.
In deformation of character, however, the character itself is deformed and suffers permanent damage. You have inflicted permanent damage of this nature on my three children, Dr. Skillingworth. I mean to see that you pay for it handsomely.
Under what law do you mean to proceed?
A legal system which recognizes alienation of affection and enticement, procuration and bawdry is unlikely to ignore the crime that you are guilty of. As far as I can see, you have turned three reasonably serious-minded boys into a trio of aggressive, swaggering, insensitive nitwits.
May I remind you of the laws of heredity against which all teachers fight a constant battle? Sometimes, I am sad to say, a losing battle.
I can tell you where and why you go wrong, Dr. Skillingworth. But I have neither the time nor the inclination. You'll be hearing from my solicitors.
Mr. Hampton, I greatly admire you as a writer. On the subject of modern literature, you are entitled to attention.
Thank you.
On the subject of pacifism, I would also listen to you with due respect.
Thank you.
On the subject of education, I believe I know rather more than you.
So?
It is, in my opinion, no part of a teacher's duty towards a child to encourage natural, uninhibited behavior. Equally, it is not the aim of an intelligent teacher to exert authority against which the child may only, and perhaps rightly, rebel. There is in the mind of an intelligent boy, Mr. Hampton, scant respect for the achievement of the present-day adult world. It is a teacher's duty to encourage this attitude and to foster in the minds of the rising generation the conviction that they can do a damn sight better, which I have no doubt they can.
That's all very well.
I would like to finish, if you will allow me, by admitting that I am aware of my own shortcomings, both as a parent and as a teacher, and by expressing my gratitude to the freshness and integrity of the boys with whom it has been my privilege to work. Good day, Mr. Hampton. You will be hearing from my solicitors.
What are you smirking about, Stella?
I was just thinking that another of your pet scapegoats had escaped.
I don't think I know what you mean.
Well, you must always have someone to blame for everything. When we quarreled, it was Peter's fault. When the boys went over the edge, Skillingworth was the culprit. Unfortunately for you, I'm not in love with Peter, and Skillingworth seems to know his job.
I have yet to be convinced of both.
You're now blaming Icarus for the manifesto going sour on you. If that comes unstuck too, you'll be in a bad way.
You talk as if that were no more than a possibility. If you want proof that Icarus has made a laughingstock of me and a fiasco of everything I've tried to do, spend 10 happy minutes glancing through the evening papers.
Oh, I'm sorry, John. Strange how difficult it is to resist the temptation to kick someone when he's down, even someone you love.
Stella, my dear, Blast. I wonder when, if ever, we shall have a life of our own again.
I'll see who it is.
Tell him to go to hell and stop ringing our bell. Yes? No. I don't care who told you. Mr. Deason is not here.
It's Mr. Deason, John. They've been found in Luxembourg, safe.
Darling, what did I tell
They're
you?
They're going to ring at any moment.
Are you all right?
Yes, I'm all right.
Congratulations, Mr. Hampton. This is Molly, my secretary, Mr. and Mrs. Hampton.
Oh, how do you do?
Sit down, won't you?
Thank you, Mrs. Hampton.
Perhaps now we can have some privacy. The episode seems to be finished.
You underestimate the staying power of the human interest story, Mr. Hampton. The world will be agog for another day, perhaps even two. On Friday, you'll be as dead as mutton, but today and tomorrow, you belong to humanity.
I don't see that that prevents me from kicking you out.
There's a call coming through from Luxembourg. Don't you want to speak to your little runaways?
I still don't see that your presence is necessary.
We are paying for the call. We're also chartering a plane to bring... Spares no expense in the interests of its circulation.
Have you spoken to them?
Not yet. An agency message came through. We put in the call right away, but there's a 20-minute delay. There hasn't been a call for me, has there? There has. Andrew Deason here. Has my call from the continent come through yet? I'll hold on. Get your notebook ready, Molly.
Yes, Mr. Deason.
You're not going to record this conversation.
It's news, Mr. Hamlet.
But listen.
Yes? Here it comes. Have you an extension to this phone?
Through there, in the study. I'll bring it in here.
Yes. Hello? DC Lord?
Here's the extension.
Yes. You listen on that phone. Hold on a moment. Here's your mother. Your son Max, Mrs. Hamden. I'll repeat what he says, Molly. Take it down from me.
Yes, Mr. Deason.
Hello, darling.
Is that you, Mum?
Yes, it's me, darling. Are you all right?
Smashing.
And the others, they're all right, too?
We're all smashing. We've had a wonderful time.
Oh, we've been terribly worried.
Sorry about that, but we have to do it. We sent you a telegram as soon as we could.
Well, that worried us, too. What did arrived fairly safely mean?
That was the plane. Icky bumped it getting down. He says getting up's easy, but getting down's a bit trickier.
Let me speak to him.
But you are all right.
Of course we are. How's old Sykes?
Sykes?
That's the teacher that he shot.
Oh, he's all right. Just a flesh wound in the thigh.
Good. That's where I aimed for. We were a bit worried about Sykes. He's not a bad old stick.
Why did they do it?
Why did you do it, Max?
I can't tell you, but it was jolly important.
Tell him I want to speak to Icarus.
Daddy wants to speak to Icarus now. What?
He can't.
Why can't he? Max, you're hiding something. He's been hurt.
No, Mummy, it's not that.
Well, why can't he come to the phone?
Where is he?
Max, where is Icarus? You've got to tell me, where is he?
He's going on.
What do you mean he's going on?
What do you mean he's going on?
He's just going on.
Alone?
He wouldn't take us with him. Jolly mean. Said it might be tricky getting down again.
You mean he's going on in the plane?
Here, give me that phone. Max, it isn't true, is it?
Yes, Daddy.
Then why did he come down in Luxembourg?
To check position. He didn't allow enough for drift.
What's drift?
Where's he going now?
Venice.
But that's madness. That means you'll have to cross the Alps. Max! Now, Max, you've got to stop him.
Darling, make them stop him.
All right, darling. Look, Max, you've got to stop him. He's already gone. Goodbye, Max.
Stella, dear, do sit down. You do no good by working yourself up like this.
But it's 15 hours, Mother. 15 hours since we heard anything.
What can have happened to him? Stella, dear, there are people that things happen to, and there are people that things never happen to, like John. Nothing ever happens to John. Icarus is like John. He would never do anything he wasn't perfectly capable of doing. It's a strong characteristic in them both.
Oh, you don't seriously suggest that Icarus was a capable pilot?
Of course I do. I don't approve of aeroplanes myself, as you know. I think they're quite unnecessary and most unlikely. But I'm sure that Icarus understands them perfectly. They belong to his generation.
If only we'd never let him go away.
Oh, stop torturing yourself, Stella.
Sending them away to boarding school was a disaster for everyone.
Well, I told you so at the time. What's the point of having a family if you give someone else all the fun of watching them develop? It doesn't make sense.
Oh, I don't mean that at all, Mother. It's just that John and I began to drift apart. Then, obviously, Icarus got unhappy.
For a person that I like... You're extraordinarily aggravating. I suppose it's only old people and young people who know what faith is and really practice it. When you're in the middle stretch, you lose it. I don't suppose it's your fault, really, but it's very tiresome. I'm going to make some coffee for you.
You're going, Peter?
I must. The train goes at 10:30. Nothing new?
No.
You know how sorry I am, Stella. It's awful for you. I won't even try saying anything more.
I would only start me crying again.
Don't suppose I'll be seeing you again from it. Please remember, you always have my love. My affection, that is.
Thank you, Peter.
It's funny, isn't it? If I hadn't fallen in love with you 18 years ago, I might be going through what you're going through now. I might have kids. My wife might be a female edition of John, if such a thing is conceivable. I've got a lot to thank you for, really.
You haven't, you know. You've missed the things that really matter.
Oh, I'm not taking your word for it, Stella. I think I've had a lucky escape. Can you imagine John dressed in petticoats?
Oh, poor John. He might be rather fetching. Oh, here he is. Peter's going, John.
Oh, he is he?
Don't you feel that you owe him an apology?
Don't, Stella. I'll just slip away. Goodbye, Stella. Goodbye, John.
Peter, I'm sorry. I behave like a child.
Forget it.
Goodbye, Peter. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Stella.
Goodbye. Thank you, John.
Well, for apologizing?
Yes. It's not easy for you, I know. You hate being in the wrong.
I'm getting used to it. Almost liking it. Strange how one acquires the habit of thinking one knows all the time. I've decided now that I don't know anything, and it's a strangely peaceful feeling.
You think we were wrong about the boys?
Probably.
I know we were.
Here's your coffee, Stella.
We should never have sent them away, John. We may have sent Icarus to his death.
We still don't know why he went.
Well, it was his protest against the smallness and narrowness of our lives. It wasn't for nothing we called him Icarus. It was to bring us together, John. I know it was.
Of all the sentimental and conceited ideas, what does it matter to Icarus what you and John care to make of your lives?
Mother.
He has a life of his own to make. It's your privilege to watch him do it and to help him. It's no privilege for him to play fairy godmother in your affairs.
I think you might show a little consideration for Stella's feelings.
Stella's feelings? What about Icarus' feelings? If I'd waited for you to take a responsible interest in my life, I'd have waited long enough, and quite right, too. You were busy with your own affairs, and I hope Icarus is.
She thinks Icarus is still all right.
Perhaps he's not. Perhaps he's died. All right, then he died in his own way, to fulfill his own purpose. I'll not have you say he died for anything so commonplace and disgusting as you're suggesting. More trouble, I'll answer it.
You mustn't mind, Mother. She's getting excessively clear-sighted. Old people always think they know everything. You can't tell them a thing. They're just like adolescents. They have no contact with reality. Darling, don't. You mustn't let her upset you.
It's not her. It's just...
She doesn't think she's being cruel. You've got to make allowances.
Oh, I'm... Sorry.
It's all right, Mr. Deason. You can come in.
Sorry, I missed you. I came round to say that you can expect the boys, Max and Johnny, fairly soon. The plane's due now.
Oh, should I...
No, we'll have them met and brought here. We thought it was best to cancel the reception in the circumstances. It didn't seem quite, quite the thing to do.
Might have shocked your readers instead of diverting them.
If you like. And the boys will not have been told anything about their brother. We thought you'd probably like to do that yourselves.
In fact, the whole thing's getting a little bit beyond you.
Not at all. Tragedy is something we...
Welcome.
Recognize.
And gloat over.
A report.
To entertain your readers. Titillate their jaded palates, I think you said.
You'll have the sympathy of everyone who's read the story. The plain, honest compassion of 3.5 million people. They'll understand your sorrows and share your suffering.
You think people like their sufferings made public?
Some do, some don't. Personally, I could never see the objection.
Perhaps you'd never lost a child.
Lost two, when a liner going over to America was torpedoed. Only time I ever made the front page in person.
Excuse me.
No, I don't believe you're thinking very straight, Mr. Hamden. People don't about the newspapers. Some things they do shock even me, and I'm hard to shock. Misrepresentation, bias, groining axes, financial and political. But people don't seem to mind that. They object to straightforward reporting on a matter of fact. One of the few reasonably wholesome things the newspaper does.
I don't find anything particularly wholesome in my experience.
You were unlucky, Mr. Hamden. You happened to be holding forth on an unpopular subject at the time.
Peace being the unpopular subject.
For us, it's dynamite. You've got to watch how you handle it.
So you take refuge in schoolboy humor.
Yes. That's what rankles, isn't it? We've made fun of the great John Hamden.
You've written in an ill-informed, irresponsible way about the only subject that really matters today in the whole world.
Let me tell you something, Mr. Hamden. A newspaper man wants peace just like everyone else, except perhaps a few maniacs. But peace is politics. It's like careless talk. It helps the enemy. If you want to break into the newspapers with it, you don't just ignore the situation and blame them for not printing your pretty speeches. You do something else.
What?
No one's found out yet.
Go along, L.W. It's Daventry, John.
Oh, hello, Daventry.
Hello. Good morning, sir.
You've come to see us?
Yes.
You know Mr. Deason?
Yes, I...
This is an unhappy business, Daventry.
Yes, sir. That's what I came to say.
Oh, Mother, this is one of the boys' school friends, Daventry. Mrs. Hamden.
How do you do?
How do you do? Would you like something to eat or drink?
Oh, no, thank you. I couldn't. Is it certain, sir, that that Hick is lost, I mean.
And there's always a chance.
School's like a morgue. Some of the younger kids are crying. Can't really blame them.
It was nice of you to come, L.W.
Oh, I wanted to. Just to let you know how sorry we all are. Oh, Dr. Skillingworth asked me to say how sorry he was, too. I think he's got a bit of a conscience about it. He's coming up later today. Oh, I brought something for you. Now that Dick is not able to go on with it, I thought he wouldn't mind if I let you see it.
Thank you. We boys of Ferndale School do not wish to kill the children of any other school. And this seems to us to be the reductio ad absurdum of war. If at 18 we are to think it right to kill other young men of 18, then why not at 16? Why not at 6? And if we feel it wrong at 16, how can it be otherwise 2 years later? No, when we grow up, we do not think we will consent to kill people who have been at some time children of other schools. And we cannot see how any consideration, which we may just now be too young to appreciate, can shake us in this resolve. The very struggle of living itself can obscure the moral judgment of how to live. Men cannot always see the truth of a simple moral proposition. Perhaps it is for children to lead the way. Ab honesto virum bonum nihil deterret. Seneca.
That means nothing deters a good man from what is right.
Signed, Icarus Hamden.
And then the other blokes. We didn't let anyone under 10 sign it because they might not know what they were doing, really.
He was taking this to Venice?
Yes.
To the United Nations?
Yes, there's a special meeting there just now.
Couldn't he have posted it?
Oh, no. Icky said it was too easy even to take a train. He had to do it the hard way. That's why he wanted to pinch an aeroplane and fly there.
But why?
He said that made it more of a gesture.
Something more than just signing bits of paper.
Mm. Can I have it?
Oh, okay. Here you are.
I thought you couldn't print anything about peace.
I said you had to do something about it. This does it. There's nothing I can do or you can do that'll stop this going into every news sheet in the world.
You'll let me have it back? It's in Icky's handwriting.
I'll give it you back, gold mounted and framed.
I'm glad it's going into the papers, aren't you, sir? Sort of epitaph. Icky would like that. That was the whole idea, really, to get it in the papers. That was why Icky thought it all out.
He didn't do a bad job. You can be proud of him, Mrs. Hamden, and you, sir.
I feel like a child has been whipped more in sorrow than in anger. I'm sure any self-respecting child would rather be whipped in anger, wouldn't he, Daventry?
Rather not be whipped at all, sir.
Some of us need it now and then.
Perhaps. Icky used to say that the only way to deal with adults was to treat them like children.
He seems to have been a bit of a politician.
Oh, no. Icky didn't like politicians.
Yes,
he used to say they spent their time hacking away at trees until they forgot there was a wood.
Anything else?
Perhaps you'd like what he said about newspapers. He said they were comics for grown-ups. Only the trouble was they took them seriously.
Mrs. Hamden, I'll go to my grave with one regret that I never met him. But by golly, we'll give him a write-up. The whole world will know him. And maybe it's cockeyed enough to see things for a moment with the vision of a child. Maybe he won't have died in vain.
Icarus!
Icarus?
Icky?
My darling, where are you?
What is it? Where is he?
You've been asleep.
Here, let me get the extension.
Darling, I don't understand. We thought you'd taken the plane. You did. He came down in the snow because the undercarriage wasn't safe or something.
I told you he knew what he was doing.
He spent the whole night in the plane. He only woke up about a couple of hours ago.
Why not? He was probably tired.
Why didn't you go to the aerodrome?
He hadn't any papers, of course. He couldn't go to aerodromes.
Naturally.
Where's he phoning from?
Why did you do it, Icarus? We've been terrified.
Well, of course we've been terrified.
We thought you crashed. Icarus, you could. Your father thinks so, too.
Of course we thought you crashed. Everybody did.
I didn't.
Icarus, don't argue.
No, don't argue, Icarus. You might have been killed.
Not Icky, when you think of it.
Not Icky.
Now, you get back here as quickly as you can.
We'll get him back. Where is he?
Where are you?
Venice.
He made it.
You jumped a lorry from Bolzano.
He made it.
Now, Nicholas, don't come back by yourself.
No, don't come back by yourself.
Don't worry, we'll get him.
A promise? I'm not fussing, Icarus. Will you promise?
Tell him to go to the Central Press Association.
Icarus, go to the Central Press Association.
And please look after yourself.
He's got more than himself to look after, hasn't he, Daventry?
Icky looks after everyone.
Oh, all right. Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye, Icarus.
Yes, yes. Goodbye, darling.
Well, well... Goodbye, everyone. I'm going to tell the chaps.
And I'm going to tell the world.
In Escapade by Roger MacDougall, adapted for broadcasting by Cynthia Pugh, the part of John Hampden was played by Hubert Gregg, Stella Hampden by Nicolette Bernard, and Dr. Skillingworth by Rafe Truman. The rest of the cast was as follows. Mrs. Hampden, Dorothy Black. Daventry, Brian Hewlett. Peter Henderson, Alan Haynes. Andrew Deason, Norman Wynne. Miss Betts, Eva Stewart. Peyton, David Palmer. Molly, Miriam Margulies. Walters, Nigel Graham. Sir Harry Cookham, Gerard Green. The play, which was recorded, was produced by Norman Wright.